All right, Shavua Tov. So we're going to start here on Daf Dalid Omer Aleph on the top. And just on the bottom of Gimel Omer Beis, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we had a whole series of statements of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Here's another one. This is from Tanakh. And we're going to start here with Divrei Yomim. Lod, Viono, Vigei HaCharosh. These are three cities that were located, if you remember, in the Shetach, in the area of Shevet Binyamin.
Right.
And as a result, in the aftermath of a terrible war against Binyamin, Pilegesh Begiva, a lot of the cities, most of the cities of Binyamin were destroyed. But says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mukafos Choma Mimos Yeshua ben Nun. These cities were walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore their status is the same as that of a krach, which reads on Tesvav Da'adar. And the chiddush here of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is that when you look at the chomos today around these cities, you'll see that they look pretty new. You know, the archaeologists will testify that this doesn't date back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun.
Yeah.
But he had a Kabbalah, Tadarba, he had a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that there was a Choma, and in these three cities there were Chomos around each one of these cities back as early as the time of Yeshua ben Nun. You'll ask me, so why did the Chomos look brand new? The answer is that they were destroyed and then rebuilt. So the Gemara asks, is it really so? Ve'hani Yoshua bin Nunhi, is it true that Yoshua built these chomos? In other words, were the city, maybe the cities themselves even weren't built by at the time of Yoshua, they were built later on. And certainly therefore the chomos were constructed later on. And here's where the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Divrei Yomim to prove that these cities were not built by Yoshua, but many, many generations later. Va'al Pa'al bin Nunhi, and we'll soon see that it's really the son of Al Pa'al, and that's one of the descendants of Shevet bin Yamin, and he was a number of generations after Yoshua. So the Mitzudas David, on that pasuk, says that the son of Alpael built these cities, and the Susi Chachamim points out with many proofs that Alpael was many generations after Yoshua. Yoshua brought the people of Israel into Eretz Yisrael, and that took place much earlier in history than Alpael. He wasn't amongst those people who entered into the land of Israel. And all this is clarified in Divrei Yomim, Perek Ches, in the 8th Perek of Divrei Yomim. Dichsiv, what's the pasuk that teaches us that the children or one of the sons of Alpal built these cities? Now we're going to focus our attention on two out of the three of these cities, Lod and Ono. Dichsiv, Uvnei Alpal, he gives you a list of the sons of Alpal, Ever Umisham Vashamed. So we're going to focus on the last of this series of three sons of Alpal. His name is Shamed. Shamed, Bona es Ono vi es Lod uvnoseha. Vnoseha is a reference to the villages that surround these largest cities, Ono and Lod. But anyway, it's clear that these cities were built in generations later, and they didn't exist at the time of Yoshua. So how can you tell me that these cities had the status of Mukafas Chomim Mos Yoshua? So the Gemara now attacks the attacker, so to speak. Yeah. You know, it's the premise that underlies the attacker here, who's asking this kasha, L'taymech, you seem to assume that if a city, according to the testimony of Tanakh, was built at a certain period of time in history, then it was never built before. But you can't read Psukim that way. You always have to assume the possibility that a city was built before and then it was destroyed and rebuilt. And how do I prove that to you? Because the Tanakh is going to testify that in later generations, Asa Benonhi, we're going to prove that it was actually Asa who came generations later who built these cities. And therefore, the only way we can reconcile these two testimonies of the Tanakh is by assuming that the cities were originally built and then they were destroyed. So according to the Bakshan, he's going to have to backtrack here, and his back is against the wall. He's going to have to admit that even though Shemed, the son of Alpal, in an earlier generation built these cities, they must have been destroyed until later on Asa came along, King Asa, and he built these cities. Now, Asa was the king of Judah, and he was later than this period of time of the children of Shevet Binyamin. And the pasuk says, "Vayiven," referring to Asa, "Are Mitzura b'Yehuda." He built large cities that were fortified and surrounded with walls in the area of Yehuda. Now, at that point in time, this is what we have to know, Asa, who was the Melech Yehuda, was also Moshel. He had dominion, political control over Binyamin and the cities of Binyamin. So the premise here in this Gemara is that Asa built not only the cities of Yehuda, but also as well the cities of Binyamin. And this is all based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayom, which Rashi quotes.
Binyamin are next to one another.
Right. And Asa Melech Lokach es Kol Yehuda Vayis'u es Avnei Harama Veseitzer Asher Bono Basha Vayiven Bahem es Geva Vesamitzpah. So it's clear from the Psukim that Asa, the Melech Yehuda, also built cities in Binyamin, because these cities of Geva, of Gova, and Mitzpah were in the area of Shevet Binyamin. And therefore, it seems from the Psukim that it wasn't the son of Alfael who actually built these cities in Shevet Binyamin, Alfael, but rather it was Asa. So how do you reconcile this contradiction? Again, even though it doesn't say explicitly that Asa actually built these cities, but since we understand that there were no walls around the other cities that look pretty new, with the exception of these three, Lud, Viono, Vigeach HaRoshim, we must assume that these cities were built by Asa, and yet the pasuk says that they were built by Shamed, who is the son of El Pa'al. So how do we reconcile this? So the Gemara says that it must be, and here's where we quote a statement of Rabbi Eliezer, that Hani, these cities, Mukafos Chavimos Yeshua bin Nun Hafa, they were old cities, ancient cities, back to the time of Yeshua, they were walled at that time, Charuv Bimei Pilegish Begiva, but during the period of time in which Klal Yisrael went up to war against Sheva, it was the greatest civil war in Jewish history, and they destroyed the cities of Hebron, destroyed the cities of Binyamin, and this is all based on a pasuk in Shoftim. It says, "Ve'ish Yisrael shavu el bnei Binyamin vayakum lefi charev meir misom ad behema ad kol asher nimtza gam kol orim nimtza shilchu ba'esh." And that was at the time of Pilegish Begiva. So these cities were included in those cities that were destroyed at that period of time. Asa El Pa'al Benononhi, and the son of El Pa'al came back and he rebuilt these cities, and then Hadar Inful. Then they fell a second time. They were destroyed a second time. It's interesting, before the Gemara used the word Charav. Now the Gemara uses the word Nafal. Not sure why the Gemara had to change its language here. But in any event, so now, Hadar Inful, again, in another later period of time, these cities were destroyed. The Asa Shaptzinu, he did the Shibbutz, and he rebuilt them a second time around. and he strengthened them that they shouldn't fall again. But in any event, the bottom line is it's clear from Rabbi Elazar that there were these were walled cities that date back to Yeshua ben Nun. They were destroyed. They were rebuilt at by Ben Alpal, and then they were destroyed again, and then they were rebuilt a third time by Asa. Daikonami, the Gemara says the Pasuk also seems to indicate that it wasn't Asa who was the original builder of these cities, but rather he came back to rebuild them in the same sites, same location where they were destroyed. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Yehuda, Asa turns to Yehuda and he says, Nivneh ha'arim ha'ele. And it's interesting, the language of Nivneh ha'arim, es ha'arim ha'ele, seems to indicate that there were cities. You know, you can't say ha'ele and refer to specific cities if they don't exist. Michlal de'arim havu me'ikara, they must have pre-existed, but they were destroyed. And he was saying, let's rebuild them. Shma mina, you see clearly that Asa was not the one who built them originally. They were there earlier, and therefore we have every reason to offer the possibility, which is the Misora that Rabbi Shuben Levi got from his Rebbeim, that these were walled cities back at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and then generations later, the son of Alphael rebuilt these cities. Now, I don't know today if we know where these cities are. I'm not sure if Lud of today is the same as Lud of those times.
It's always a question. Isn't it?
Right, I'm sure there are ways of figuring that out, and maybe we'll get a chance to do that.
I think that Lud does ring the medulla twice, if I'm not mistaken.
They do? I guess the archaeologists will tell you if this is the ancient city of Lud that may date back, you know, to earlier times. I doubt if they can trace it back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, but once you know that it was the Lud of the time of Asa, that probably would be enough, or if you can go even back and somehow determine that it was the Lud of Elpal. But Ono, I don't know, there's a Kiryat Ono near Tel Aviv. I tend to doubt that's the Ono that we're talking about. And then this third city called Gei Harashim, that this is dropped off the earth here.
Lud is in the Eretz Binyamin, right?
That's why I don't know. Yeah. I know Eretz Binyamin is right there on the way. It's near Shalavim and
that area. That's right.
On the way to Rehovot.
See signs all over the place. This is
Shevet
Binyamin. But that doesn't prove anything because, you know, the signs.
Right. You don't know exactly where.
No, you don't know. You don't know.
All right, now having finished this whole stream of statements that may or may not have anything to do with Masechta Megillah, we have another statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that's head on. This is really exciting. This is Mamash Masechta Megillah. V'yomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nashim Chayavos b'mikra Megillah Sh'afein Hayu Boso Anes. So women, despite the fact that this is a classical case of Zman Groma, Nashim Pturos, but here they will be obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. And Tosis Dibra Maskel Noshim says Mikan Mashvashan Noshim Motzios Esacherim Yidei Chovosan. The simple reading of the Gemara would seem to indicate from Rabbi Shuben Levi that women have the exact same chiyuv as men. And he doesn't say Lishmoa Mikra Megillah, which is going to be the Shitas of Ahag that we'll get to, Mirtz Hashem, but rather Mikra Megillah. It sounds like they're obligated to read the Megillah, and therefore a woman, insofar as she shares the same chiyuv as a man, should be able to be motzi, a man, yidei chovasa. The Bahag holds, on the other hand, that women are obligated only in shmiya and not in kriya. Therefore, a woman doesn't share the same obligation. So what's sha'afein hoyu bi'oso hanes? So Rashi says that they were also included in the gzeir of Haman, of lahashmid laharug la'abi, because it says there, minar v'adzokin tafvin noshim. Therefore, they also have the same obligation to thank Hashem, to recite Hallel to Hashem, and publicize the miracle as a man does, because they were included in the Gzeira of Haman. However, Tosus Dibra Maschil She'af Hein Hoyu quotes the Rashbam that it means more than just that the women were included in the Gzeira, but rather they were the ones who really brought about the miracle, because Esther was the one who brought about the miracle. I don't know that there's an afkamina l'alocha between Rashi and Tosus, but two different understandings of how to read the Gemara. The Pashas in the Gemara sounds more like Rashi, because it says Afein Hoyu Bosanes. Even they were included. I mean, according to Tosus, it's not that Afein Ho, they were included, but they were at the forefront. They actually brought about the miracle. So he has a long footnote here about this issue between Rashi and Tosus. He suggests that maybe whether a katan should be included might be enough to me. Because if you're going to talk about obligating women because they were included in the gzera, then you might say the katan also. It says taf in the pasuk. But if on the other hand you're talking about obligating them because they brought about the miracle, I don't know if that would extend to include to the katan. So Bli Neder, we'll talk about this another time. But right now, let's go on to the next statement of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. V'yomar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Purim shechalios b'Shabbos. If Purim, the 14th of Nisan, or in this case actually referring to the 15th of Nisan, because the 14th of Nisan could not possibly fall out on Shabbos. That has to do with the Jewish calendar.
Right.
But the 15th of Nisan for Mukafim could actually coincide with Shabbos. And we're not going to read the Megillah on Shabbos, which is based on a principle called Gzeira Derabba.
Right.
We're always afraid that if you're going to read the Megillah on Shabbos, you might take the Megillah in it, you know, without thinking, and bring it 4 hours in Rosh Hashanah in order to ask somebody to teach you how to read the Megillah. But in any event, there's no Kriyas HaMegillah in this particular case. So now you have a day which is actually Purim for the Krachim, and yet they can't read the Megillah. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi wants to come up with some, if I can use the term, a vestige of Purim, some sort of celebration of Purim to mark the day and commemorate the day for the nes that took place on that day without violating the Gzeir Derab. So what is the fallback position in this case? Sholim v'dorshim binyono shalyon. So this is a famous principle that appears elsewhere, called Sholim V'Dorshim. Okay, now, first of all, let me mention to you the Rush. The Rush says that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is only talking about Purim Shel Mukafim, because Purim Deprazim, which is on Yudal, could not fall out on Shabbos, and that's based on Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi's language is leskan. There's no possibility of chal lios, that it could be chal on Shabbos, meaning he's talking about a time period of kiddush al pi cheshbon. We're not talking about kiddush al pi re'iyah, and with the cheshbon, it doesn't work out. So the language you shall me, of course, is in heavy Aramaic. I'll just read it to you. He says, Leskan chalios b'sheni, v'leskan chalios b'shabbos. In other words, that in the cheshbon of our calendar, that's Hilul Sheni, there's no possibility of Yudalit falling out either on a Monday or on a Shabbos. Then it says, chalios b'sheni, tzoma rabba b'chad b'shabso. The reason why they wanted to avoid this possibility of the first day of Purim, meaning Yudalid coinciding with Monday, why did they structure the calendar in such a way that that wouldn't happen? Is because then Tzoma Rabba means Yom HaKippurim Bechad B'Shabso, then Yom Kippur would fall out on a Sunday. In other words, Im Chal B'Sheni, if Purim would be on a Monday, Nimtza Yom HaKippurim B'Echad B'Shabbos V'Losim Shabbos Zu Zu Achar Zu. In other words, we don't want to make Shabbos and then Yom HaKippurim, which is also called Shabbos. Chalios B'Shabbos, why do we want to avoid that Yudal should be on a Shabbos? And Tzoma Rabba B'Arvusa, the Yom HaKippurim would be on Erev Shabbos. And Chayshinon L'Yarka U'Masya. So there's a chash that if Yom HaKippurim is on Erev Shabbos, something called Yarka Umasya might take place. So we don't know exactly what Yarka Umasya means, and that's a sugi in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav. Okay, now, if Shabbos is Chal on Tesvav, then Sholim Vidorshim Binyanu Shalyom. In other words, the Chiddush is that don't think that if there was a possibility, this is a Chiddush of the Pnei Yeshua, if there were a possibility that somehow the 14th could fall on Shabbos, then we would have Halach of Darshan Binyanu Shalyom, because that's the Iker Zman of Purim, is on Yudalit, but if it would be Chal on Tesvav, that's not the Iker Zman, only for the Mukafim. And then the Mukafim is Im Chal B'Tesvav. Right, then the Iker Zman is really on Erev Shabbos, because Yudalit is Iker Zman. Bein Linyan Kriya, Bein Linyan Asiya, is Kevin Shu Zman Kavula Rova Olam Lishtav Asimcha, is Afa Mukafim Asurim Bo Ba'esbe Tainis Nimtza Shekvar Kimu Mitzas Purim V'ein Tzrichim Od Lidrosh Binyano Shalyon. So basically the Pnei Yeshua is offering a whole nother approach to our principle that there's no possibility of Purim overlapping on Yudalit. He's saying that Shabbos and Yudalit would coincide. And the reason for that is because the Rishonim, when they're pointing out that our sugya is talking about Tezvav and Shabbos coinciding with Tezvav, they mean to add another chidush here. They're not trying to undermine the possibility that Shabbos could coincide with Yudalit according to the Pnei Yeshua, but rather they want to tell you that there's a chidush here, that even if Purim is Chal on Tesvav, which would mean, I'm sorry, even if Shabbos would be Chal on Tesvav, or Tesvav would be Chal on Shabbos, and you might think that in such a case they don't have a mitzvah Megillah at all, because yesterday, which was the Iker day of Purim, they would have had this kium of, we call it a replacement of Megillah, which is called Sholem V'Darshim. And as a result of the replacement Megillah, they don't have a chiyuv of Megillah on Tesvav. So the Rishonim want to point out here, no, that our sugya is talking about a case where Shabbos coincides with Tesvav, and there's going to be Sholem V'Darshim. They're going to have to come and hear the Megillah on Yudalit, because of Lo Yavar, if you remember.
Right.
But if not, there would have been a Havamim to say that maybe the people in the Kerachim are not obligated at all in the mitzvah of Megillah in such a case. Why? Because since Shabbos was coincided with Yudalit, and on Yudalit they already heard the Sholem V'Darshan, that would substitute for Kriyas HaMegillah, and they don't have a Chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah on Tesvav. Okay. Now, what comes out here is, now, he has another note here about Sholem V'Darshim. He says that what's the language Sholem V'Darshim? He says, Im Ein Shoel Yidrosh Li Atzmo. In other words, you might think that only if there's a question, then he should answer the question. We're talking about the Chacham, but if there's no question, what happens now? So the answer is that the Chacham has to take his own initiative, Vidarshim, as a separate entity, be in Yonu Shel Yom. He has another possibility here, in the name of the Sifsei Chachamim, Shelo Yidrosh Behavara Bi'alma Eliyamik B'Shelos U'Tshuvos, that the method and the formula of the presentation of his Drasha should be Shol in V'Darshan. He should ask questions and then give the answers. That's going to be, instead of just feeding answers, he should ask the questions himself if there's no question. What does that remind us of? Leil HaPesach, right? Pesach. It has to be Derech Shelo Tshuva. So here also, Shol in V'Darshan means that his Drasha should be Derech Shelo Tshuva. Now he has another note over here. He says, "Dafka k'shachal b'Shabbos tzarch lidrosh binyanu shel yom." He says that the only reason for the shol of Adarshim on Purim itself, on the 15th of Adar, is because ain karim bo as hamegillah. But there's no halacha of shol of Adarshim with regard to Purim. No, it's the other Moadim have Sholem V'Dorshim, you know, Vinyan and Shalyo. But in Purim, the Sholem V'Dorshim that we're learning about here, Rabbi Shimon Levi, is only because we need desperately to substitute for Kriya Samagil. And why is there no Kriya Samagil? Because the Gzeir Darab, Shevi Yav, Yirenu, Arba, Amas, Bishu, Sarab. Aval Im Bachal B'chol, if let's say the 15th is on a weekday, V'karnes Samagilu Bo Bayom, we're going to read the Megillah on that day, is then Ein Tzrichim Od Lidros Binyano Shel Yom. We don't need a drasha Binyano Shel Yom. And all this becomes clear from a one-line Tosis here, which is about 8 lines up from the bottom of the page, which is Divra Maskil Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos. He says Dafka B'Shabbos V'Shein Korim Bo Asam Megillah Mishum Zer Drab Av B'Chol Ein Tzrich Sheri Korin Asam Megillah Utfei Ika Persume Nisa. So again, in a choice between two methods of fulfilling Persume Nisa, one option would be Kriya Samagilah, and the other option would be Shol V'Darshim, then in order to achieve Pirsum HaNes, you get a greater enhancement of Pirsum HaNes through the method of Kriya Samagilah. But in a fallback position, when it's impossible to read the Megillah because of Shabbos and the Gzeirah D'Rabbah, so then we don't have the full, you know, the full steam ahead, perfect, ideal kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. We have a fallback position, and that's called Sholem V'Darshim Binyano Shel Yom. And Rashi adds here another element into the equation. That's called the Metargim. If you take a look at Rashi, Sholem V'Darshim, you see such a Rashi?
Yeah.
Ma'amidim Turgamon Lifnei HaChacham Lidrosh Igeres Purim Barabim. That is very interesting. Rashi really adds two chidushim here. Number one, what's in front of the Chacham for this drasha? Every drasha has to start with a Torah Shebichsav. So the Torah Shebichsav here is the Megillah itself, which Rashi calls Igeres Purim. So that's what he has. But not only that, it's going to be Barabim. It's going to be a public analysis. So he's going to read a pasuk, and then he's going to ask a question, and he's going to pontificate and explain and embellish the Megillah in front of the audience of the Rabbim. So in such a case, whenever you're teaching in front of the Rabbim, there's halacha ma'amidim turgamon. Now this halacha ma'amidim turgamon applies both to Torah Shebichsav and to Torah Shebaal Peh. For example, in Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara establishes Bava Kama, and this is some of the Minhagim, and the Yemenite Jews still do it today, of being Ma'amid a Turgamon. And the Turgamon is going to translate what's going on here in the reading of the Torah into the vernacular, which was Aramaic at that time. And Rashi seems to be applying that same kind of logic here to this case of Kriyas HaMegillah, but again, it's not a formal Kriyas HaMegillah. He's not going to read Kriyas HaMegillah with brachos, and he's going to start from the beginning, Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, until the end. He's going to just focus on whatever k'taim in the Megillah that he wants to darshan. But since he's conveying transmitting Torah Shebaal Peh, whenever you transmit Torah Shebaal Peh in front of the Rabbi, you need a miturgamah. Al piderech hapshat, I mean, again, I think it's deeper than this. You need a miturgamah because you can't expect the Chacham to project his voice in front of a whole audience. You know, there are no microphones and so forth and so on. So the foghorn, you know, the means to do this was through the miturgamah. But it seems very clearly from Rashi that what we're doing is, instead of reading the Megillah as Torah Shebichsav, which we would do if it wasn't Shabbos, we are reading Megillah only as a sort of a jump-off point for Torah Shebaal Peh. And the drush of the Chacham is going to start with the Igeres Purim sitting in front of him, and that's probably what he's going to darshan. Now, it would seem from Tosas Divrei Maskil Purim that the drasha has to be Osek Binyani Anes, and we're not dealing with Hilchas Purim. And Rashi would also seem to be on that vein, because if we're dealing with Hilchas Purim, maybe you should have in front of him a Shulchan Aruch or some sort of codification of halacha. But instead, he has him in front of him the Megillah itself, and we're seeing here that we're trying to get as close as possible to the original Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, technically we can't read the Megillah because it's Shabbos, but let's try to get as close as we can to the original Kriyas HaMegillah. And we do that by darshaning from a Megillah itself. And what are we going to get from the Megillah itself? We're going to get Pirsumei and Nisa. We're going to focus on the Nes rather than Halachas. So according to this school of thought, which is Rashi, Tosus, and the Ran, the purpose of Sholem V'Dorshin is not classical Sholem V'Dorshin, which is always identified with understanding the Halachas and practical Halachas, but rather Sholem V'Dorshin is to get the history and appreciate the Nes, the miracle of God. However, there are other Rishonim who say that Tzarech Lidrosh B'Hilchas Purim, Mikra Megillah, Mishteh, Simcha, etc., etc. So this becomes a whole to-do here, exactly what this Sholem V'Darshim is all about. Now, the truth of the matter is that, at first glance at least, it would seem that from the Hemshech HaSugya, that the other Rishonim are more on board. And the reason for that is because my Irya Purim, the Gemara wants to say that it's a Pella that Rabbi Yeshua Melevi spoke about Purim, and he singled out Purim as if to say that on Purim we have a new halacha called Sholem V'Darshim, in this case where Shabbos coincides with Purim. My Irya Purim, afilu yontif nami. The Gemara now is going to quote a brisa to prove that this halacha of Sholem V'Darshim is not limited to Purim, but rather it applies with regard to every single yontif. But you see, if you go with Rashi's shita, Tosus's shita, that we're not talking about Sholem V'Darshin in the classical sense, but rather we're talking about Pirsum HaNes.
So what do you have to prove? It's a different, difficult to understand.
Why you equate the analogy of the Gemara to Yontif, that there's a din of Sholem V'Darshin and Yontif, that Sholem V'Darshin and Yontif, Pashtus has nothing to do with Pirsumei Nisa, but rather it's a Halach and a Kiyum of preparing for Yontif, meaning knowing how to observe Yontif with all its meticulous laws. And therefore, from the fact that the Gemara compares Sholem V'Darshim in Rabbi Shimon Levi to Sholem V'Darshim in universal terms with regard to all Yontif, that analogy would seem to indicate that the Sholem V'Darshim Rabbi Shimon Levi is identical with classical Sholem V'Darshim, which is learning the halachas, isuk b'halachas, not Pirsum HaNes. You know, not taking a Megillah and darshaning and inspiring us about God's divine intervention in the chain of events that led to the Geula and the Yeshua from Purim. So this is a bit strange here. So if you take a look here in the Ritva, he quotes the Ritva. He says that Darshim Hakavana leHilchas Purim Dumya deSholem V'Darshim beHilchas Achad. In other words, with regard to Sholem V'Darshim, as far as Moadim are concerned, the Sholosh Regalim, it's certainly Hilchas Achad. Shavade Hakavana leDrasha beHilchas Achad. אבל לא כמו שפירשו התוספות, שפירשו כוונה לדרוש, לדרושוס, I would add the word לגדתה, and פירסם הנס. So again, the Ritva now at this point is saying that the Gemara's kasha here, afilu biyontif nami, which seems to be predicated on an analogy between the Sholem V'Darshim of Yeshua Levi on Purim Shechalius Peshavis and the Sholem V'Darshim of Moadim, he says, my Irya Purim that's how he's explaining this kasha, the Gemara. My Irya Purim, why does Rabbi Shimon Levi single out Purim? Shechal b'Shavis Sheposhut Shetzarch Lidrosh Mishum Pursume Nisa Meachar V'Ein Azkaras L'Nes Ela Bofen Azeh Hari Afil B'Yontav Sheyesh Bo Kama Azkaras L'Yontav Mitzah Simcha V'Kedusha Gam Ki Yesh Bo Chiv Lidrosh B'Nyono Shel Yom V'Lchosel. In other words, according to Ritva, the Gemara's kash, and he's trying to somehow reconcile this Gemara's kash with the possibility that Purim Shechalios B'Shavis is a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes, right? And the reason why we're pushing in that direction, that the Sholem V'Darshin, Rabbi Shimon Ben Levi, Sholem V'Darshin of Purim Shechalios B'Shavis is about Pirsum HaNes, because we want to salvage something from Purim, and the Iker Mitzvah of Purim, the Kishkis, or the essence of Purim is Pirsum HaNes. So in order to salvage something, Rabbi Shimon Levi steps up to the plate and offers this possible mode or method of salvaging the Mitzvah of Purim, on Shabbos of Pirsum HaNes. So the Gemara asks the following question. Since Rabbi Yeshua Levi is implying that because we're in this very tight situation, a very difficult situation where we have a contradiction between the day itself, which is Purim, and it's mitzvah person anes, and the fact that it's Shabbos and we have Gzeir Rabbah. So it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua Levi came up with this Sholem V'Doshta as an original idea to resolve this dialectical contradiction between Purim and Shabbos, and he came up with this offer of Sholem V'Darshan. So Gemara says, wait a minute, you know, it's not Rabbi Yeshua Levi on Purim that discovered and formulated this enactment of Sholem V'Darshan. It's an ancient halacha that applies on Yontif itself. And that has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, we need to talk about the essence of the day on Yontif. Right, there are many different in Tefillah on Yontif. We mentioned Yontif. We have also Mitzvah Simcha and so on and so on. It's endowed with Kedushas Hayom. So we have a Chiddush. We have a Chiyuv of Sholem V'Darshan Binyanos Shel Yom that has nothing to do with Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi didn't invent the wheel over here. Why is he coming up with this new Kilu, a new formulation? So my answer would have been that the Gemara's Kasha is not a Kasha because Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi is adding to the classical Sholem V'Darshan, a brand new form of Sholem V'Darshan, which becomes now essential to the day. But at this point, the Gemara seems to get the flavor from Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi's statement, the way he formulates it, as if to say that this halach of Sholem V'Darshan applies exclusively to Purim in a case where Shabbos coincides with Purim, as if it's exclusive. This Sanya. Okay, so now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, which is going to darshan a pasuk in Emor. It says in Parshas Emor, Vayidaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Why does it have to say Vayidaber Moshe? Everything was given, all the mitzvahs were given through Moshe to Bnei Yisrael. So what's the chiddush here? Vayidaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Elis Gemara answers, Moshe tikin leb Yisrael shi sholim v'dorshim bin yono shel yom Hilchas Pesach b'Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres b'Atzeres, v'Hilchas Chag b'Chag. So we see clearly, based on this braisa, that we're darshaning a pasuk Vayidaber Moshe to teach us that Moshe established this takana of Sholem V'Darshan, and applies in each one of the Yomim Tovim on Pesach for the laws of Pesach, on Shavuos for the laws of Shavuos, on Sukkos for the laws of Sukkos. Now, this is a little bit interesting because this braisa is not what we know classically. For example, the Gemara in Pesachim, when it talks about Sholem V'Darshan, is talking about 30 days before the Chag. Right. Here he's talking about Tikkun L'Mishu Sholem V'Darshan Pesach B'Pesach. You know, he's talking about a drasha of the Chacham on the holiday itself that's Bo Bayom. This is not the same as the classical Sholem V'Darshan Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. So the answer is, the Ran says that Hainu Shehashoel Bahem Bi Oso Zman Nechshav Shol Ki'inyan V'Nizkakim Lanos Lo Tchila. Notice the halach of Sholem V'Darshan Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom is a different kind of halacha. That's halacha in transmitting the halachos. That din of Kodem HaPesach, Shloshim Yom, is to transmit the halachos. And the language of Sholim is a halacha in Mesiras HaTorah. There's halacha in Mesiras HaTorah. If two students stand up simultaneously to ask a question, who do you give first dibs? Who gets to ask this question first? So there's halacha called Shoel Ke'inyan. And Shoel Ke'inyan means that, let's say during this 30-day period, one Talmud is asking a question about Ichveis, about Tefillin, you know, and the other Talmud wants to ask a question about Bedikas Chametz. So we're going to have to give preference to the Talmud within this 30-day period. We give first dibs to the Talmud who's asking about that which is pressing because it's Shloshim Yom. Shloshim Yom is already a period of time which we prepare for Yontif. But in any event, getting back to our Shakla V'Tarya, the Gemara establishes that we have halach of Sholem V'Darshan regarding every single holiday, on the holiday itself. And why does Rabbi Yeshua Levi indicate that this, you know, that this requirement of Sholem V'Darshan is in Purim Shechalias Shabbos is only exclusively on Purim? You see clearly from this price that it's not exclusive to Purim. So it would seem that the Gemara is going to have to answer that Rabbi Shubha Levi is not trying to say that Purim is different than other Yomim Tovim. And Rabbi Shubha Levi is not going to deny that the requirement of Shalom V'Doshen applies to all Yomim Tovim. But rather, what was Rabbi Shua trying to tell me? A chiddush. He wanted to tell me a new chiddush that on Purim you're allowed to be Doresh, even though it's Shabbos. Why? But Purim Itzrich Lei wants to tell me a big chiddush in Purim Ma'od, the same I would have thought if not for Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Nigzar Mishum de Rava. That just like Rabba says, you're not allowed to read the Megillah on Shabbos, from beginning to end, because we're afraid he might forget and he might carry it for Amos and Rishus Arab. So too, it's also for the Chacham. We might think that he's not allowed to be Dorish B'Megillah, because again, he might come to violate the Shabbos. Choshishim Shimnati Lidrosh Ba Yavo Lahatir Gam Es Kriyosa. So there are two ways of learning this Gemara. One way is learning that since he's darshaning from an Igeres Purim, the way Rashi said it, therefore he might carry the Igeres Purim. That's hard to say, because it's not like everybody in the audience has in front of him a Megillah. So to say that the Chacham himself might carry the Megillah, that's a little bit way out. Yeah. So the more logical way of understanding this Gemara is to say that they're going to make an equation here that, you know, if we have to have a Gezerah not to read the Megillah on Shabbos, we have to sort of strengthen that Gezerah by saying we're not even going to allow to be Doresh the Megillah on Shabbos. Because once you come to be Doresh the Megillah Shabbos, maybe you'll come to go a step further and read the Megillah on Shabbos. Kamash Malon, Rabbi Shimon Levi is telling us that's not a fair gzera. The ain goes from gzera to gzera. No, the fact that we're enjoined from reading the Megillah on Purim is itself a gzera. Now on top of that, you're going to pile up another gzera and say, well, we can't even dash in the Megillah. That far we don't go.
This halacha, Moshe Tikin Le'olam Yisrael, Shalom, that's relevant certainly to the Pesach and to Chag, right?
What about Shavuos?
Shavuos is, but if it's in Yom Hashayom, might be a little different, because Yom Hashayom may mean the halachos of Yom Tov on Shavuos.
I mean, not halachos of the specific mitzvahs that are unique to that holiday, but to the halachos of all Yom Tovim. Like you might give a drush on what's considered Melechas Ochel Nefesh and what's considered Melechas Avoda. You know, give also a muktzah on Yom Tov, whatever dinim you want to carry. Now here he has a footnote, and he writes Hagam she'efshar ha'yolomar she'hayos u'purim yontif derabana naze atzmo bara b'shem levi lechadish. As opposed to the other three regalim, which are doraisa. Oh, this crossed your mind?
Yeah.
Maybe the chiddush of Yishuv Melevi is to tell you that even in a yontif derabana, there's a din, a requirement of shalom v'dorash v'nyanu shalyo. So the answer is, how you poshed the Gemara, shekol the tikkur rabbanon came to raisa tikkur, and therefore we're gonna upgrade the status of Purim as a drabbanon to that of a regular yontif, and therefore we don't need Rabbi Shimon Levi to be mechadesh that sholem v'dorsh. Now what about Chanukah?
Similarly, you remember we had this Gemara of Bali Rava Melchichah Megillah Mis Mitzvah Ami Ano Mi Nayu Odif. We have a mitzvah midrabbanan and a mitzvah d'oraisa. So what was the question? The same kind of idea that the rabbanan, it is the din d'rabbanan, but it got elevated by Chazal.
He says the following. Hapnei Yoshua says that gam b'chanukah yeshchiv lidrosh binyano shel yom. How does he derive such a conclusion? He says, the Gemara asks here, on Daf Dalet, my iria purim afiliyontif nami. And if the Gemara would have differentiated between a Doraisa and a Drabonon, then we could have answered that Rabbi Shimon Levi is coming to teach us that even on a Drabonon is a chiv of Sholem Vidorshi. It must be, therefore, that the Gemara is not willing to accept any distinction between a Doraisa and a Drabonon, so therefore Chanukah would also be included in this chiv. The only thing that I would say about this Pnei Yoshua is that Bishleim Purim, we need Pirsum Anes Bo Bayom, and the day is being completely stripped, if it falls on Shabbos, of its kiyum of Pirsumei Nisa. And that's where Rabbi Shimon Levi steps up to the plate and offers us this possibility of Shol and Vidarsh. However, in the case of Chanukah, the Iker Mitzvah of Chanukah is the Hadlaka and the Alanisim, the Halil, and so forth. So we have all those Kiyum, there's no need for Shol and Vidarsh. So he quotes here the Minchas Yitzchak, who says, "Kosvu ad Tosvus shechak b'Shabbes yesh chiyuv lidrosh mishum she'ein karnes amegila ve'ein kam pirsum manes av b'chol sheyesh pirsum manes aydei megila ein tzarich lidrosh shekein b'chanukah." Oh, so baruch shekivanti shetiknu pirsum manes aydei adlokas neiros v'af b'Shabbes. Oh, because even if Shabbos coincides with Chanukah, we light the Chanukah candles going into Shabbos.
Anyway,
right. Even though it's Shabbos, is minayin lanu chiyuv lidrosh, and that's his kasha on the chiddush here of the chiddush of the Pnei Yoshua. V'yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi chayev adam likros es hamegila balayla v'lishnosa bayom. There's a double chiv of Kriyas HaMegillah. You have to read it at night and read it by day. Shenemar. It's interesting because before Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what was the situation? Did they read it both at night and day? Maybe they only read it by day, I don't know. But anyway, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi establishes a whole new chiv, and he derives it from a pasuk, Shenemar. It says in Tehillim, Elokai Ekra Yoma, God I will call out during the day, Velo San, and if you don't, Chasom, you don't respond, you don't hearken to my prayers, Laila Velo Dumuli. At night I'm not gonna let up. I'm gonna continue with great resilience, and even at night I'm gonna cry out to you, Hashem. Now this pasuk appears in, I think it's the 24th chapter of Tehillim. Let me see if I'm right. Or maybe it's the 22nd. Let's see. 22nd. Okay, just one second.
Pasuk Gimel.
Let me read it to you from the Torah or HaSholem.
That's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Elokai Ekra Yoma Velosana Velai Lo Dumuli. So we have the whole pasuk. And it's in Tehillim Chav Beis. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ekra, Dibra Maskel Ekra, which is our pasuk and the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to derive from this, the Mizmar, this is in the Kapitel Chav Beis, which begins with Lamanatzech al Ayeles HaShachar V'hu Nemar al Este Ayeles HaShachar is Eske Amidim Mesechta Yoma Lamanim Shal Este Ki Ayeles HaShachar. So it means Esther is going to cry out to Hashem, Keli Keli Loma Zavtoni. And in that Kapitel, which is a kapitel that refers to Esther, it's God, I will cry out to you not just by day but also at night. And the Rav Zichron Levracha, in one of his drushes, I think is for the yard side of his wife, so he went to great length, I have it somewhere but I don't have it with me now, to point out that this Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi introduced a whole new motif into Purim, because we're talking about Ekra, you know, we're not talking about, you know, jovial clapping and dancing and singing and for, you know, being so almost, it's a hectic kind of a day for Val of his life, but we're talking about a very serious, solemn day, which is a day of Tefillah. You know, the parts of the Megillah that we read in the Nusach of the Niggun of Eicha, you know, this is the Elokai Ekra, I'm calling out to Hashem of Esther. So on the one hand we have to know that, obviously we have to commemorate the great miracle, but at the same time we have to realize and acknowledge that the Jewish nation are in a very precarious situation, and we very, you know, as Esther experienced it, you know, we have to gather together and cry out to Hashem. In any event, the Gemara assumes now that since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi expressed himself with the word Ulishanosa Bayom, he didn't say Chayim Adam Likros HaSamagila Valaylu Bayom, but Lishanosa Bayom, it must mean Lemikre Balay, that he reads the Megillah at night, and Lemisna Masnisin Dida Biyamama, and that he should learn the Mishnayis of Megillah during the day. In other words, that the kiyum of the day is a kiyum of Limud Torah, of Torah Shebal Peh. The strange thing is, if that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi meant, how did he derive from this pasuk? I mean, the pasuk doesn't indicate anything about Talmud Torah over here. That's pretty strange. But in any event, the choice of the word lishanosa would seem to indicate that that we're talking about limud, shinun, like vishinantam levanecha, and that's the limud of the Mishnah. So this is very strange. By the way, what we mentioned before in the name of Rashi, that this kapitel Chav Beis of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi refers to Esther, he points out in the name of the Sifsei Chachomim that the Gemara is going to clarify later on that Esther herself was the one who said this mizmor when she went in, when she went into Achashverosh. And yet Rashi quotes a Gemara in Yoma, which Lechora doesn't indicate that she herself recited this kapitel. But he points out that there's a Rashi in Masechta Yoma that writes that mizmor, that this mizmor was Esther Mi'alma Omra Bebor Lifnei HaMelech. And there's another element here that he mentions here, that in the palace of Achashverosh there were tzlamim, different kinds of getchkes, you know, to worship idols. And she became very fearful because Esther tried to daven to Hashem before she went in, and she realized that the Shekhinah was complete. There was Siluk Shekhinah, because in a place of Avodah Zarah there's no Siluk Shekhinah. So I guess, you know, she really had to cry out to Hashem in a certain way, that it wouldn't be maybe a formal tefillah, because there was Siluk Shekhinah, or maybe because of the Siluk Shekhinah she was overwhelmed by fear and she had to really, you know, go into high gear to present her supplications. The Marsha is that the word Elokai, which is the first word in this pasuk, and then it says Ekra, right? It says Elokai Ekra is a reference to Kriyas HaMegillah, according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi.
Because of Ekra?
The word Ekra, he says, not just crying out to Hashem, but it means to read the Megillah, Miloshen Kriya. And in the first part of the pasuk, it's Yomam, which implies only by day. And then it says Velosane. So how do we reconcile this? On the one hand, she's talking about Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom, and then it says Losana. So he says the following, that the pasuk in the Sefer is going to be Megala what it means in the Reisha. In other words, don't interpret Ekra as referring to a reference to the Megillah, an allusion to Kriyas HaMegillah. That can't be right, because it says Losana, which means that you didn't respond to our cries at night. Now, it could be that what Esther is referring to when she says crying out at night is the pasuk Balaila hu nadada shnas ha-melech. Because if that's a reference to Malcho shel Olam, then she cried out at night as well. But Valaila, now, if we're going to read the Megillah at night, if you assume that Ekra would mean reading the Megillah, then velodumyali, then we shouldn't be, shall we say, quiet to be shosek milahaskios and eskam bayo. And the Gemara later on is going to say that Kriyas HaMegillah replaces Hallel, and Hallel is bayo. So therefore, there's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah bayom as well. So in other words, let's not assume that velaila means only balaila. So we can't assume that elakai ekri yom means only by day, because there was also a losana balaila, and we can't assume losana balaila because it says ekra bayom, and by kriyas HaMegillah bayom we're going to be in fulfillment of the kiyum of Hallel and Odoah bayom, because the kriyas HaMegillah is going to replace the laila. So let's just read one more line in the Gemara and then we'll stop. Omalu Rab Yirmiyah lididi mefashalei mina de Rab Chiya bar Abba. I have an interpretation of this statement here of Lishanosa that I received from Rav Chiya bar Abba, that it doesn't mean that on the day we're going to learn the Mishnayos of Masechta Megillah, but rather we're going to repeat the Megillah a second time. Kigon, we saw Rav Yishuv Malevi use the word Lishanosa, di Amri Inchi Evar Parashta Da V'Isnaya. People have an idiomatic phrase, this way they expect that I'll learn this parasha and I'll repeat it again. Notice I'll review it. So whenever you're doing something a second time, you use the word Lishano. So Lishano's not here in this context of Rav Yishuv, it's not Miloshon Shinun, which would mean learning the Mishnah's Torah Sheval Peh, but rather it means to repeat, to be chozer on something. So this is where we'll stop with Itmar Nami. Okay, then?
Yeah.
Very.